This is The Pulse. I'm Bharati Jagdish. Now, even as the Housing and Development Board launched about 7,000 flats for sale under the May Build to Order and Sale of Balance Flats exercise, questions remain as to what home ownership really means in Singapore. Now, the HDB resale market continues to be lackluster. We saw flash estimates last month that showed that the prices of resale flats have fallen for six consecutive quarters. Some analysts are saying this is partly because of the realization among prospective buyers that not all old flats will be eligible for SERS, the Selective En Bloc Redevelopment Scheme, and the declining value of HDB flats with less than 65 years left on their lease. Now, in a Facebook post in March last year, National Development Minister Lawrence Wong noted that only 4% of HDB flats have been earmarked for SERS since its launch in 1995. For the vast majority of HDB flats, he said, the leases will eventually run out and the flats will be returned to HDB, which in turn will have to surrender the land to the state. This is what he said then. As of December 2016, note that there were a total of about a million HDB flats in Singapore. Among these, 7% were at least 40 years old. Another 29% were between 30 and 40 years old. This is according to the HDB. Now, recently, the issue was brought up in Parliament again. MPs such as Cheryl Chan made suggestions on how to manage this issue, and we'll get to those suggestions in a moment. But first, let's talk about whether HDB buyers, or should I say lessees, really should have seen this coming. Joining me today are Koo Swee Yong, CEO of International Property Advisor, and Nicholas Mark, Executive Director, Chief Investment Officer, and Head of Research and Consultancy at ZACD. So first of all, the government's narrative surrounding home ownership over the last few decades. Is home ownership really just a misnomer in this case? Nicholas, let's start with you.
Depends on how you look at it. Because for HDB flat owners, they are basically renting the flat from the HDB for the next 99 years. And instead of paying rent every month, they are paying one lump sum of 99 years worth of rental upfront. And they can take a mortgage on it. So everything seems to be like as if they own the flat for the next 99 years. And they can also resell the lease after, let's say, meeting the 5-year MOP period. And it appears on the surface that as if they own the flat. But the thing is that they don't own the land. And this comes to the very fundamental of the meaning of home ownership.
Exactly. Because in the private sphere, even if the flat has only a 99-year lease, you own it in the real sense. In this case, that element is missing, which is why I think a lot of people feel like they were misled here.
I think for almost last 40 years, this issue has not been opened up. And because many HDB flat owners, whether they buy from the resale market or directly the flat directly from the government, are able to resell their flat at a profit. So everybody is happy, right? They make money from it. Some of them eventually even upgrade to private property. So there is no complaints.
Now that a lot of people are moving towards the tail end of those leases or midway through those leases, and some people are actually coming in at that point where they are buying flats with short leases. What's next, you know? And this is why I think it's caused such a furore. Swee Yong, jump in here. Tell me if you think, you know, perhaps the narrative should have been different. Is this really home ownership?
Yes, I'm really advocating that we change the words. Don't say buy, say lease a flat from HDB. And then when you are transferring the lease, say that it is transferring a lease to the next lessor. The confusion also came in as we expanded this home ownership scheme because a decade ago, just over a decade ago, we allowed HDB leases to be financed by banks as well. Previously, it was no resale allowed unless you are selling it back to HDB. Then you can only borrow from HDB. And then subsequently, it expanded. So it started to look more and more like it is a real ownership. And therefore, people forgot. And then, of course, we then had various sorts of asset enhancement program, HUP, LIUP. And then we also had many other schemes coming in for old folks, shorter leases, lease buyback scheme. And subsequently, I guess, the policymakers started to focus on the, let's say, the niche segments that may feel that they are disenfranchised. So we introduced single parenthood scheme and stuff like that, which is good in general, but sort of made us forget that this thing called lease buy, sell, all these terminologies, we have used them too loosely. And we
of course, many people, as Nicholas pointed out earlier, have benefited from this whole resale market and being able to buy and sell freely. Yeah, so people have benefited from this.
Yes.
But now that the reality is setting in, I think it's become kind of a mishmash, really. So there are many elements of ownership, but there are also many elements that tell you you don't really own this. What's the way ahead, you think, Nicholas?
I think part of the problem is that people expect that when the lease of a HDB flat were to fall below a certain years, let's say the HDB is more than 30 or 40 years old, the government will automatically buy back the flats through a selective en bloc redevelopment scheme. And the existing flat owners will get either a windfall payout from the government or will be given a brand new flat with a fresh 99-year lease. Mm. And if this system were to continue for all flats, HDB flats will become almost de facto freehold property because you always get a fresh 99-year lease after 30 to 40 years.
I think a lot of people are still wondering why the selective en bloc redevelopment scheme can't be applied to all old flats, you know, progressively, of course.
I think one of the things is that it's quite costly. It's quite costly to taxpayers. It's quite costly to the HDB because they have to build a brand new flat, take back an old one, and then they basically will not be able to sell this brand new flat, let's say, through a BTO system, BTO exercise to new flat buyers. It's actually a cost to the state. So to do this very widespread, HDB is saying that they are making losses every year. You know, they run into deficit. If the SERS program is applied across the board, and we are having a big batch of HDB flats, 300,000 of them that are approaching that age, is going to be a huge burden on the budget.
To be fair, I don't recall any government official actually promising or guaranteeing that SERS is a certainty.
Yeah, no, they never
did. So how did that impression form within the senior people or people who are living in one of these old flats that there will be SERS? We do know that there are speculators who do want to buy very old flats in the hope that they become SERS. But who propagated that expectation?
It's a bit like something that floats around in the market through sometimes property agents might just mention it as one of the selling points when they try to broker a deal.
Moral of the story is don't believe everything the property agents tell you, right? Because, of course, they're in it for themselves. So think twice. Here's the thing. We have heard some suggestions come out of Parliament in the last few weeks. Cheryl Chan, MP Cheryl Chan, noted that owners of older flats have difficulty selling their property with a greater supply of housing units in the market, and of course that reducing lease, buyers find such prices out of their reach. So she suggested that these flats should not be valued using the comparison method of past market transactions. She said instead, let's do the valuation based on the flat's remaining lease, the length of time it is occupied by the current owner, and its right-sizing potential. But this will have a downside too, won't it? It might be a fairer gauge of what the price of the flat is and what it is worth. But the people who sell the flat won't make as much of a profit as they had hoped. And the people who buy this flat will have to deal with an even more complex problem 20 years down the road, because then there'll be even less time left on that lease.
Yes.
So what do you think of this suggestion overall, considering the downsides, yet the upside? Nicholas, first of all?
Well, it's a bit of a complex way to try to value it this way, because you need to put in a few inputs. Let's say one of the inputs is that you assume that there is no capital appreciation. You buy a 99-year lease at X dollar, and then you draw a straight line depreciation for the next 99 years, which means the older the flat, the shorter the lease, the cheaper it will be. Which will also means that you remove totally that profit element that can be enjoyed by the so-called HDB flat owner. If that's the case, then I think it's really a great game changer in the whole HDB market. The government might as well bring back the old system and says that if you want to sell your flats, you have to sell it back to the government. The government will do a valuation. Perhaps they might top up some sort of subsidy so that the existing flat owner could move on to something else, right-sizing or otherwise.
But forget about profits, right?
Correct. Right. And I support that too.
So remove that profit element from the HDB market altogether. Go back to basics, you're saying.
Correct. Because as the nation grows older and older, the portion that we consider roof over our heads become more and more important. And then now with this idea that the leases decay and the valuations will drop, we are starting also to wonder what happens to the CPF component that I have used
exactly.
to buy my flat. And that this CPF portion, which I'm expecting to cash out to feed me between the ages of 70 to 90, it looks like it's going to disappear soon. So maybe that's the reason why the fear factor has increased within the last 12 months.
I can totally understand, because retirement adequacy is an important thing. And even in that area, the government has been saying that your flat can be monetized to help you with retirement adequacy. But if we were to go down the road that you guys have suggested, which is go back to the old system, the way things were before, where you don't get into the HDB market to make a profit, it is merely a home, not a profit-making vehicle. What then? What would that scenario look like for the individuals who currently have a home and intended to make some money out of it, but now can't, in spite of the fact that they bought it at quite a high price? You know, what would they sell it back to the HDB for? What would they get in return?
Well, you could have, riots in the streets is something that we don't sort of see in Singapore.
Let's hope we don't see them ever. Yeah.
But you will
so how to manage so that we don't see that?
We'll have very, very angry feedbacks on online forums and all that lot. Perhaps the government, if they want to really implement this, they have to start with the new batch of flats, the new BTO flats, right? That says that this new batch of flats, now you come in with a new family, you come in with eyes open, you can only sell it back to the government. While the existing batch of flats, because there is a social contract between the government and the older batch of HDB flat owners or the existing batch that says that, all right, you can still operate the way it was, I don't know, until a time when the government thinks that this group is getting too small.
In that case, there will be two markets, right? Two parallel markets. BTO flats, of course, don't always come around and there's a queue if you want to get them. But how many people would actually at this stage say, okay, I'll go to the resale market and I'll buy a flat from there, even if it is an older flat? Considering 20 years down the road, you'll be left with what some might consider a liability, something that will not
get into the resale flat market by bargaining for a lower price, knowing that in 20 years' time, you might have to suffer a steeper depreciation. Then do your costings clearly to understand, in 20 years, if I enjoyed my peace and comfort for 20 years, what would this enjoyment be of value to me? If I bought in a resale flat today at 500,000, in 20 years' time, if it happens that I'm reselling it only at 300,000 back to the HDB, if policies do change then for 20 years, 200,000 loss, is that equivalent to the enjoyment and the convenience I would have for me and my family for buying it today?
So, of course, then you would offer a lower price.
Exactly.
You would say, I'm not paying 500,000, I might pay 300,000.
Or 400.
I was going to go
because
even lower.
There would be a cost of enjoying your property. Look, you can't have a roof over your head for free of charge, right?
But then some might say, okay, that's good for the buyer. What does it do to the seller?
For the seller, it would mean that, look, let's congratulate our parents and grandparents' generation for having made their windfalls on these policies that are. But going forward, let's think about whether our children will be holding a can that is going to be hurting them or not. So if we took the pains today to have some of the sellers earn less profits, they are not going to make a loss. They are merely making less profits. Then our next generation and their next generation would be benefiting from this policy where a roof over the head is going to be something that is inexpensive. Now, the economy is turning into a gig economy. Incomes are not going to be as consistent and steady. And jobs are not going to be jobs for life now. Within 3 years of graduating from the university, you might have 5 jobs. And then that brings up the other point where recently the HDB has introduced a policy to encourage young homeowners to buy into new BTOs by having no income statement to show. This is encouraging financial imprudence, and I really don't support it.
First, so you think that income statement, some stability needs to be proven?
Exactly. Especially in a situation in this current environment where the gig economy is actually handing out a lot of short-term contract jobs. How would a young person be able to take on and sign on a 25-year mortgage when he's at 23, 25 years old?
Well, I think the HDB is merely recognizing the realities of the job market right now. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell people that, oh, just because you are only doing contract work, you will not be eligible to
What happens if his contract work stops for a six-month period and he's not able to pay off the HDB loan? Mm. So why not encourage them to be financially prudent, do their sums properly, and give them the option of long-term rentals where they pay month by month,
okay,
instead of introducing a buy now, no need to show me income statement scheme.
Okay, but going back to that suggestion that you guys made, let's go back to the old days, mm-hmm, and also make it clear to people that you are merely a lessee, not an owner. Mm-hmm. Should the elements that are in the framework today even exist anymore if a paradigm shift is made? Should we have to make down payments? Should we have to pay levies and things like that? Why not just make everything like what you said, Swee Yong? Make sure it is in the framework of how one might rent a home, pay a monthly rent for your HDB lease.
I think that can work with the new lessee that's coming in. But for the large part, the majority of existing HDB flat owners, where they have already taken up mortgages, they pay perhaps a high price, some even pay $1 million for a HDB flat. I think to pull the rug right under their feet and says that, right now we're going to introduce a new way of, you can't sell it on the open market anymore. You know,
It's like what you said earlier, there need to be two parallel markets.
System, yes. But I think...
But for the new homeowners, I mean, the ones who buy the new BTOs.
Mm-hmm, yes. Huh? But you lead to two major problems. One is that Singaporeans will fall into two classes, the private property owners and the public housing people.
Right? Isn't it like that today?
Yes, in the way it is. HDB flats is public housing. But the government is very proud to announce to the whole world that says that we have over 90% home ownership and our public housing system is the most successful, because in other countries, their public housing dwellers pay rental. They rent the flat from the government of those countries. But in Singapore, our public housing dwellers actually own their flat.
But the recent statements have shown that actually we are like other countries where we are renting from the government, right?
Exactly. We are fooling ourselves.
In fact, not right.
Some of the terms in the websites I noticed have started to change. You seldom find the word asset enhancement in relation to a HDB flat these days. I think they have started to tone down, but I still see a lot of evidence that we are claiming that it is home ownership. So I guess to encourage the young generation from not suffering this problem within the next 10 to 20 years, let's get the terminologies correct, change the definitions of the words, and explain clearly that you are merely a lessor.
I would like to talk about more solutions, though. So we've talked about one possibility you guys mentioned, which is let's go back to the old days where there is no real resale market, peer-to-peer resale market. Everything goes back to the HDB. The profit element is taken out of the public housing equation. But Member of Parliament Cheryl Chan also mentioned another suggestion. She talked about SERS. So she said, as HDB flats are typically built precinct by precinct, rather than selling new land plots for private property, allow the private developers to top up the land lease of HDB flats for future development. Would this help?
Well, this basically, you raise a question of who will own that parcel of land after the lease top up. If it is the private developer, and private developers are basically profit-motivated entities, were to come in and buy the HDB flat, aging HDB flat with land from the existing flat owners, the existing flat owners will enjoy a windfall. But the land will now become private, a private 99-year leasehold land parcel, which the private developer will build something. Even if you ask them to build a HDB flat on it, we will be going back to the days of the DBSS, which is flawed in the way that it will just lead to property price escalation. So in the end, what we'll see is, in a way, from a piece of land that's owned by the state will become privatized. It goes into private hands. So if this goes on, within one generation, we're going to find there are fewer and fewer land parcels that are available for public housing. And the people who reap the reward is that generation who sold the land to the private developer. Then after that, all subsequent generations will suffer in that we have fewer and fewer public housing for them.
Sui Yong, you, what do you think?
What I saw in that suggestion was that the challenge would be, how do you demarcate the land plot around HDB blocks in order then to carve them out as a site that could be sold to private developers? Because today, between HDB blocks, the playground, the basketball courts, the multi-story car parks, those common areas, you need to allocate them by carving out the land plots in a very defined way. And we have already seen the difficulties of doing some of this when we tried to privatize some of the HUDC blocks. Mm. And post-privatization, then you put a fence around them and subsequently then you can unblock them. It is very tedious. And would today's old folks in those old flats want to go through that exercise of going into a privatization program?
I think they would, because HDB has done such things. You know, some of the private government land sale sites, 99 years lease, were previously HDB flats. They were demolished and then they have done that. Yes. And if the flat owners could enjoy a windfall when their flats are sold to a private developer, why not? They'll go through the inconveniences for the big windfall.
Yes. But that is having SERS the old flats and then the land plots then marked out properly for government land sales program. That would be more tidy.
Right.
So HDB buying back the old flats is probably still the only direction that we should go.
Something else that has been mentioned by this particular Member of Parliament, Cheryl Chan, as well, was to reassess the property loan structure and CPF policies in funding property purchases, pegging the loan period and CPF funds used for members up to age 55. Sui Yong, you mentioned concerns about CPF funds. What do you think of this?
Yes, I think also Professor Walter Teixeira did mention it when he was commenting about the president's speech. Now, that works because we should allow our homeowners to be a lot more prudent and in planning for their long-term retirement adequacy. But then the immediate impact of restricting CPF use even further is that we are going to be bringing down the resale prices even faster. So again, we have got to phase such suggestions. This suggestion works well, but we have got to phase it so that it would only apply to this new buyer. The existing home buyer today would still be allowed to pay using his CPF for up until he's 60 years old.
Right. So start afresh.
Yes.
With a fresh group. Don't be retroactive about these sorts of things. You agree, Nicholas?
Yes, most definitely. This also brings about that fundamental relook at what is the purpose of the CPF. Right now, it's trying to do a lot of things other than just financing housing, but also education and so on. Is that if we were to use the CPF funds, individual CPF funds, to buy a HDB flat, which is in a way a long-term rental type of flat, it's used for consumption. The long-term rental flat is a consumption item if you can only sell it back to the HDB. So perhaps they will have to relook this thing, but starting with the new batch of buyers. Good. It can be monthly rent, it can be a quarterly rent, whatever it is, but it is not a 99-year rental out front.
You're right, okay.
We did that in the 70s where basically HDB allowed my grandparents to just pay a monthly rental on the flat. And the right of use, the contract of that tenancy seems to be stronger on the tenant side. So meaning HDB cannot at its whim and fancy just evict you unless you have run afoul of their rules.
Right.
So such methods work very well in Europe, Switzerland, Germany, and these are countries that we aspire to grow into. They've got home ownership in Switzerland, 40%. Germany is about 60%. And their economy runs well because if you are paying a monthly rental instead of a lump sum up front and then tied down with another 20 years of commitment to the bank, you have a lot of extra cash to reinvest in business, reinvest in innovation. And that's what our young millennials would probably like to do. Innovative investments, start up their own SMEs.
Not have so much locked up in your home.
Exactly.
Okay, back to that issue of CPF usage. Of course, a lot of people get upset when you tell them we're going to limit your use of CPF to finance your homes because it's so expensive. How else am I going to afford it? And things like that. But we should point out that once a scheme like this goes into effect where they limit the amount you can use, chances are the flats will become cheaper, right?
Exactly.
Affordability will improve. And so then you people shouldn't get so worried about this.
You will then accumulate more CPF for your retirement use post 65 years old. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, so retirement adequacy actually is a major issue, which is also quite deeply tied to housing. Right now, yes. Government agencies often say, don't worry about it. You can always monetize your flat. Mm-hmm. There's a lease buyback scheme. You can rent out a room in your flat and things like that. You can downsize. Right size is what they call it. But even these options are not exactly ideal. It feels as if, you know, you've risen to a point in your life where you feel like you own a place and now you have to downgrade in your old age. So I've heard of a lot of lessees say that this isn't even ideal. Why is the government recommending something like that? Are there no other ways of ensuring retirement adequacy, Nicholas?
Well, I think the problem comes is that there's a certain group of senior citizens who are asset rich and cash poor, and their asset, their biggest asset is their HDB flat, which is probably not growing in terms of the price, and it's now facing the possibility of the value declining as the lease gets shorter. So the government is coming up with scheme to try to help these retirees where some of them, their CPF funds may not be enough to see them till the end of their days. So they're trying to come up with ways to how they can monetize this biggest asset that they have sitting there without too much government handout. Which brings to the second problem that I mentioned earlier. We are going to have a haves and a have-nots. Mm. The ones who are private property are the haves, the rest are the have-nots. Then it also comes to that social contract, which the large 80% of Singaporeans who live in HDB flats for the last 50 years have with the government, which is that you support the government and the government will take care of you, including one of your fundamental needs, your housing, and your housing as your biggest nest egg will grow if you continue to support the government. This social contract will now come into question.
What is the ideal way of dealing with this then? Because a lot of people are also saying, why can't the government just come and rescue me at the end of the lease? Extend that lease, renew that lease, do something to help. To what extent do you think the government might consider this? Considering especially what Nicholas has said, Swee Ong, that this is a social contract. This is a major issue in Singapore. It's not just a question of dollars and cents.
Okay, the end of lease issue would come maybe in another 50 years. So in between, I'm suggesting that we could have HDB buy back some of these. So instead of a SERS program where you identify the precincts, have an option where people can sell back at market valuation to the HDB. And HDB could fund this by even issuing a REIT for external investors to invest into. Whatever is sold back to HDB, HDB then re-lease out on a monthly lease rental type of a program for anybody who wishes to rent a home for the long term instead of encouraging them to buy.
HDB. So this is a bit like a lease buyback scheme, isn't it?
Yes. Just a little buyback in total at today's pricing. Yeah. And today, HDB keeps a stock of about 60,000 flats, which is mainly catered for the low-income families as well as families that are facing issues and in destitute. Expand that. Allow younger generation, allow even richer people, high income people, if they chose to rent from the HDB because they like that lifestyle, allow them to rent. Why is it that we do not have a proper home rental program in Singapore? So if we had that, then the social contract that Nicholas was talking about, at least you are now able to fulfill the social contract, not on the point about your asset enhancement, but on the point that the government will allow you to have a roof over your head. Here is one more avenue that you can try, leasing.
But you can't prevent that scenario of, you know, having the haves and the have-nots, because clearly the people in the private market are subjected to a totally different set of rules.
We today already have the haves and the have-nots.
But you don't want that gap to get wider, you see, because we know social inequalities, wealth inequalities can cause a lot of problems as well.
Yeah. Yes, and if we were to go that system of HDB flats are now going to be more of a rental type of flat where there is little chance of capital appreciation, this gap is going to widen. And then it also leads to the next question is that if we are going to restrict the use of CPF funds for HDB flats ownership, why shouldn't we also restrict it for private property ownership? Because especially some of the growing proportion of private property are 99-year leasehold.
What do you think, Swee Ong? Should it go down that road?
Yes, because retirement adequacy now seems to be a big item on our minds. I personally have used up all my CPF in my home.
Mm.
So I'm wondering about what's my next step as well. Now, if that starts to happen, in fact, the haves and the have-nots, we think that they have it in their assets. But those who have it in their assets, in terms of private property, may have very little cash for retirement. And if we start to restrict the CPF usage and to allow more and more people to actually rent HDB flats on a monthly basis, in fact, this group might be a lot more well off cash-wise when they retire, because they haven't used up their CPF and locked it up and paid bank interest or HDB interest on the loans.
Mm. It might seem like a better way to manage your finances, but I can bet you some people listening to this will be very upset with all your recommendations related to how they can use their CPF funds.
My starting point is always, what do we want our children and their children to inherit?
Mm.
And if we keep kicking the can down the road, I'm sure it will be even more painful and even more unhappy when our children receive the HDB flat system that we have today.
But what about us today? You see, we need to think about that as well.
I think one way is that we may need to have a more open forum to ask Singaporeans what do they want and make them realise the extent of the problem. I think there's still a large number of Singaporeans who still do not know that if the current HDB system of resale flats with shorter leases and no guaranteed SERS program will continue, we are going to face this big time bomb.
To sum up, Swee Yong, your recommendations in a nutshell on how to manage this issue.
I would recommend is a non-open market sort of a HDB flat. By introducing that as an option for BTO buyers, you choose which path you want. You can buy a BTO that is for open market, hoping to resell it at a higher price in future. Or you might buy something that is less expensive, but in future you can only resell it back to HDB. And that would be able to help us transit so that it doesn't hurt the existing home buyers, homeowners, as well as it will allow new young people to understand what they are getting into because you offered them the additional option.
Nicholas, sum it up for us, your recommendations in a nutshell.
My recommendation would be something similar to what Swee Yong said. The existing system continue as it is, but as the lease gets shorter, the government should buy back perhaps a kind of a SERS light, you know, light kind of SERS, not so much subsidy, but to at least let people age in place.
Mm.
And then the new system, which is you make it very transparent to the new BTO flats applicants that they are actually lessees, okay, and what it comes with that. And also the other thing is to relook the use of CPF funds for housing. But this is going to hit the property market because the usage of CPF funds is in a way supporting the prices of flats and private property. And I think this is going to send not just ripples, waves, or even tsunamis. Mass market condos, one of the biggest demand is coming from the HDB resale market.
Yeah.
And when you pull the rug off that, that means these people will now be making less profit from their HDB resale flats. Their purchasing power will be weakened when they go to buy their private condo.
So how to do this without affecting a tsunami, you know, in a way that will not create any shocks?
I believe that this generation, us, would probably have to absorb some of the pain of the shock. There's no running away from having one party suffer the pain of all those exuberance that our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation have managed to earn. So let's take a short and sharp pain, extract the decaying tooth so that the rest of our teeth can grow up beautifully.
All right. Thank you both for joining me today. Really appreciate it. Koo Swee Yong, CEO of International Property Advisor, and Nicholas Mark, Executive Director, Chief Investment Officer, and Head of Research and Consultancy at ZACD. Thanks for joining me on The Pulse.